Always a joy and a privilege to stand before you and just kind of share God's word and what I've studied. Just bear with me. I'm realizing from time to time now, I guess as the weather changes, I have arthritis in my big toe. It's amazing how the big toe helps you stand up. So it's hurting today a little bit, so I'm going to be careful with that. If I fall, just come and pick me up. We're doing a series from Mark over the past few weeks called Jesus Always. While back, Jesus is always at work in us. Jesus is always doing God's will. Jesus is always building his kingdom and growing it. 2 weeks ago, Steve shared that Jesus is always in authority. And last week, it was Jesus is always the story to tell, where he encouraged us everywhere we are, where we live, where we work, where we play. Share Jesus. Tell the story of what Jesus has done to you. And then this week, Jesus is on time. Time. What an interesting, broad subject as I studied this. If you go to the next slide, as I think about this, there's many slogans or phrases for time. I'm going to ask you if you can think of a couple. If I would say to you, time heals all wounds, all right? Frozen in time. What are some other time phrases that you know about? Nice and loud. Time flies and those who love time is not. I never heard of that one. That's right. Time flies. Do you know what flies say? I mean, frogs say. Blew that one. Frogs say, you know the expression, time flies when you're having fun? Well, frogs say, time's fun when you're having flies. So there's you go. Corny. Not in my time. How about another one? Time is money. Time is money. There's a Dutchman. I work for that guy. I know all about it. Time is the longest distance between two places. Here's what Einstein said. Time is an illusion. I think sometimes we think that. Ben Franklin said this, you may delay, but time does not. Something about time, it just never goes away. Come back to the clock here. All right? This is an ancient clock. Time does not stop. Boy, as much as we wish we could do that, we always want more time. And the only time time stopped was that time in the Old Testament with Joshua. You remember that story? Where the battle needed to be longer and they prayed and God held up the sun, and it didn't go down for a day, and Joshua was able to win the battle. Here's what Scripture says about time. In Ephesians, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Colossians says this, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, redeeming the time. We, as followers of Christ, want to be very careful how we spend our time. Good or bad. My son Steve was talking to me a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about time as I was preparing, and he said he just heard that the average person spends 70 hours a week watching TV. And the conclusion from that, as he was reading, is if we would spend that much time reading the Scriptures as watching TV, we could read through the Scriptures 4 times. That's an amazing what we do with our time. Who's this guy? Anybody know? Who? No. It's the little boy whose dad works for Horizon Plumbing and Heating. He's here early at school. My kind of guy. I'm an on-time guy. Do you know what he said about time or what he's been taught? Give that guy an A. Early is on time. That's what I like. My son Steve gets bugged because I'm supposed to pick him up at 15:45 and I'm there at 20:20. I never holler. He can come at 15:45, but he feels guilty, I think. Time just keeps clicking and clicking. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this. There's a time for everything and every season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. That's a powerful phrase in Ecclesiastes. Under the sun and under heaven is man's view of life, and under heaven is God's view of life. I don't know how I became a guy who likes to be on time, but I learned something early in my marriage, because I am always, well, let's say, most of the time, always on time. My wife is not on time most of the time. So right out of the gate, there was a little friction. So, and it was especially, I guess, on Sundays that I would be ready and she wasn't quite ready. So I would stand, and I kind of picture this, I would stand in the hallway, the bathroom door's open, she's blowing her hair dry, and I'm just looking at her. She'd put the hair dryer down, she says, "It's not helping." I learned that. It did not help me to get her on time by staring and intimidating her. It only made her more nervous. I learned that. I don't do that anymore. I just sit in the parking lot and honk the horn. Time. It's a tough one. We're going to look at two stories, a story within a story, that deal with time. Jairus, a synagogue ruler, where I've entitled this, with him and his sick daughter, time is of the essence. Then there's a woman who's had a disease, a blood issue, for 12 years. And I've entitled her spot within the story, time is running out. And I think we all have experienced those expressions. Time is of the essence. Time is running out. Let's read the first story. Oh, I'm sorry. First, I want to give you just a perspective from God looking at time. Anybody want to take a crack at how God looks at time? Yeah, he doesn't look at time. He's outside of time. Something that's very hard for us to understand. I'll say it this way. Because some of the scientists say, billions and billions of years ago, the dinosaurs roared and roamed. And I'm going to say this. Before time, infinitely, billion, billion years ago, God existed. And I think most of us believe that. And time did not exist. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed perfectly and content without anything else. That's who they are. You and I can't fathom that. But when man was created by God, God created time. Time is for us. And how God wants us to handle it, we don't handle it always well. Here's our view on time. Never enough. Always rushing. Luane asked me, how come they put a girl in that picture? That's just what they had. But this is how we live life and time. And my heart is today to encourage you to see how God deals with time in our dimension. So let's go to the first story. All right? Just take a moment to read this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, there was of the synagogue leaders a guy named Jairus. And he came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Time is of the essence. Let's try to put ourselves in Jairus' place. First of all, the synagogue ruler, he wasn't a priest. Probably one of the smaller synagogues in the area nearby where Jesus was at the time. And as I've studied it, I think the easiest way for us to think about this was his job was like the janitor of a church. He was part of a religious building, and he was in charge of keeping all the elements, providing things. A very good position. A ruler of the synagogue, and he comes to Jesus, and he bows down before him. That says volumes of where this guy's heart is. Because the talk in the synagogue, and if you remember back to chapter 3, the religious leaders, Pharisees, they want to kill Jesus. Jairus is coming with a request to bow down before him. Now, I don't know if this means he really believes in Jesus, but he understands to some great degree who Jesus is and the power that he has. And he's come in a very humble way. And he says, "I want you to come to my house and heal, touch and heal my daughter." What faith he has. And I imagine he still has some anxiety. He cares for his daughter. And as Jesus begins to head to his house, there's an interruption. If we can read the next story. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. All because she thought, "If I just touch him, just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Now let me just kind of help you with the dynamics here. Jesus stops. Jairus wants Jesus to come to the house. His daughter's dying. And he stops and he takes the time for this woman. With Jesus, his timing is always perfect for Jairus and for this woman. I remember working at the Davis house some time ago. Over the years, I've done work there. But a good long time ago, I was working, and in the kitchen, Caroline has this little 3x5 card on the window over the sink. Not an interruption, but a priority. You know what she's talking about? Her kids. Boy, that's a good slogan to have. That's where Jesus' heart is. He's been interrupted by this woman. Not an interruption for Jesus. She's a priority as well as Jairus' daughter. Some things to think about with this woman. There's a good chance she was probably Jewish. Most people at this time in the story of Jesus was Jewish following him because he baffled them, astounded them with his authority, if you remember what Steve was talking about. Well, if she was Jewish, according to the law, having this blood disease for 12 years, she was an outcast. If you read the law, even when women would have their period, the monthly time of that time, they were considered unclean for 7 days. They couldn't be touched, and they couldn't touch anyone. Here's a lady who's now been sick with a blood disease for 12 years, an outcast, her life isolated. There's a good chance of that. And with the desperateness that she had, time is running out. She has enough faith to break the law, the Jewish law, go through a crowd where she's touching most people around her, and then touches Jesus. According to the law, Jesus would be unclean. But Jesus completes the law. He's far above it. And his heart was to touch this lady and heal her. And he does. If you remember the story, as we continue this, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So at once, Jesus realized the power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people everywhere against you, says the disciples, and you're asking us, "Who touched you?" If you read the account of Matthew, Jesus turns around and sees and looks at the woman. So he knew who it was. He was asking this for everybody's sake. And he told her, "Your faith has freed you and made you well." She was desperate. Time was running out, and she went to Jesus. For you and I, we want to think about, when it comes to time, how we spend it and how we think about God and how He deals with time. I think for the most part, you and I become very anxious about time. Have you ever had prayer needs that you feel God hasn't answered? Time goes on and on. You begin to get discouraged. You and I begin to even doubt, does God hear my prayers? Is He interested? You need to know that God is always interested. I believe, as we think about time and what it means to God, it kind of intersects with all the characters of God, one being God's sovereignty. Do I really believe that God is sovereign? If I do, and I believe that God is always on time, there is so much freedom for you and I to live in. Because God is never late with anything. But sometimes we struggle with that. Time, it keeps going on and on. I want to share some verses from the scriptures that give us a little insight on God and time. If you could give us those verses, go forward a little more. Here's one in Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. This is in that framework where they're scoffing and saying, where's this coming? We keep hearing he's coming. He's not here. This has been 100 years after his death and resurrection. I want to tell you, Jesus is never late. This great story of Esther. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place. Boy, that says a lot. This is Mordecai speaking. And he's saying to Esther, Esther, if you aren't willing to do this, God will still work it out because he always accomplishes purposes on time. But you and your father's family will perish because of the decree put out against the Jews to annihilate them. And then he says this, and who knows, but yet you have come to this position, queen of Persia, a royal position for such a time as this. You were born for God's purposes. And you can say in your world where you live, and there's a lot of things going on within our family here with different avenues and moving and going on, and even the story of Ed and Sherry, God's timing is perfect. You and I need to look to him for that. Here's one of my favorite verses that deals with time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. The time, God's first advent in the time of history, just after the 400 years of silence, God is telling us this is the perfect time for deity to become humanity. Didn't miss it at all. Right on time. So then, we who wait for his second advent don't have to become anxious or weary or doubtful. It's coming in the fullness of time perfectly, when everything will be the right time. That's who our God is. And we need to be able to believe that so that we can live such a different life. Here's another verse from Acts. It's a great portion. It says this in Acts. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. God is not restricted by anything, time itself. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, Adam, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. That's where we've been these last 6,000 years. And he marked out their appointed times, or the set places they should live, is how the King James says it. The set appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he was not far from one of us, from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, right on time. God wants you and I to know his time is perfect for you. When things come up in your life, trust him. He's working it perfectly on a time scale that's his. You know, there's a lot to be said about time. I even heard Dr. Phil say, for those who make others wait and are not on time, they could be a very selfish people. Someone who's on time, I kind of lean that way. I say that. But I think all in all, we need to say, how do I handle time? Do I recognize that God wants me to redeem time in everything I do? Then I can trust him for what comes and when it comes. Listen to this statement here. It's a powerful statement. Jesus never shows up late. Do you believe that? He rarely shows up early, but he is always on time. I believe it's one of the tools that Jesus uses in our life, waiting for time, testing us. And there's times we don't handle that well. The story ended with Jairus, that Jesus eventually got to his house. But they gave him news. Your daughter's dead. Kind of reminded me of the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. When Martha says to him, if you'd have been here on time, our brother wouldn't have died. They didn't know all of who Jesus was. That was a test. Jesus was on time. He allowed Lazarus to die to show his glory, to show us how he can raise the dead. You and I need to know that we who are spiritually dead have been raised to life, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So that if you're here today and have never believed that Jesus, the Son of God, came and died for you, rose again, by believing, your faith can cause a resurrection spiritually in your life. The Bible says this, now is the accepted time for salvation. Today, if you don't know him, don't leave this building without coming to grips with that. I or any other elder would certainly love to sit down with you and help you understand the plan of salvation. Jesus went to the house of this little girl. They're already mourning. And he says, child's not dead, she's just sleeping. They laughed at him. You know the end of the story. He takes three of his disciples and the parents, and they go into this little girl. And he says to her, little girl, get up. God raised the little girl from the dead at the perfect time. I believe Jairus believed God could do this. Matthew talks about that in his account. Jairus had faith that God could heal, and he did it in the perfect time. The woman believed she was running out of time and needed a healing from God, and Jesus touched her. Jesus can enter your time right now, whatever you're going through, and he can bring tremendous healing, tremendous ability to believe in him. Ask him, Lord, let me believe that you're a God who does everything right on time. You're never late. You have my purposes mapped out, and I can trust you. I believe if you and I can learn to walk in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to rule our hearts, time will become so much different. We will see it so differently. Because whether we have a flat tire on the road, or somebody interrupts us, or we're held back by something, or the letter in the mail doesn't come, it's on time with God. God has our life mapped out. The steps of a good man, the steps of one who is righteous, are ordered by God. Let's rest in that love. Let's rest in that ability to control and conquer time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who controls time. You control time for us. You control time for your plans. You're never late. And Father, we so many times doubt that. We become anxious. We need it now. Help us to rest that you are God who works all things perfectly on our behalf, that we would trust you, that we would enjoy the moments we have to wait, and that we would see you do great and mighty things which we can't even imagine. And we ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.